Welcome to the Hoosey podcast with me, Phil.
And me, Scott.
And on this episode, well, we're going to be talking about Target books. And it's a bit of a short episode, this one. So for the next sort of maybe 20 to 30 minutes or so, we'll be talking about some Target books that Scott's gone and bought with his very own pocket money. Yes, I know. So what made you want to buy some Target books, Scott? Because I know you're collecting all sorts of Doctor Who bits and pieces. Mainly it's been figures, hasn't it? The action figures, character stuff. So why have you started getting Target books now as well?
I generally just like the idea of getting Doctor Who books, really.
Okay.
They're just really, really nice, and a lot of them are in good condition still. So, and also I just wanted to start collecting them in general.
Okay. So you were looking around quite a few places. You looked, was it Vinted first for a few? And
yeah.
How many books was it for? About 27 books for £33 or something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Which I thought was a good bargain, but then, very expensive.
But then they whacked a load of delivery on top of that as well, didn't they?
Yeah, so then it came out to like 50 quid, which is way too much. But
yeah, exactly. Especially for a little boy's pocket money. Yes, indeed. So where did you end up getting these ones anyway? What website did you go to?
I thought it was called. I know it was something, it had the word books in it, but I actually don't remember what it's called.
Well, there you are, listeners. There's some nice helpful consumer advice for you. We can't remember where we bought them.
It's not my fault, okay? Don't leave me alone.
Okay, well, so you got, how many books did you buy in that little package there?
So you got four books, and one book you actually got for free, and I was kind of hoping you'd get the most expensive one free, but they could put one of the cheapest ones for free.
Oh, they always do.
Very
it
evil,
they always
evil.
Do it like that. Okay.
And I already had one book, which was The Androids of Tara, before I got these four books, which I've had this book for quite a while.
Okay.
And it was published
in- we'll come on to the books you bought in a minute, because we need to just go through them and just sort of like see why you sort of picked them, because there's not a single Sylvester McCoy or Patrick Troughton story amongst any of them.
I could not find a Sylvester McCoy one on that website. I was searching. I was looking. I liked the look of the Curse of Fenric one, which I saw, but I was like, wait, where is it? I couldn't find any. I couldn't find it. And if you actually search, you might be able to find the website. But if you search, instead of Doctor Who Target, search Doctor Who Virgin, because the Virgin books, I don't really know much about them, but I know.
Oh, the New Adventures, called. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. But if you type that in, you actually get more Target books and no Virgin books. So if you type in Target books, you actually get more of an option than typing in Doctor Who Target. So if you find the website, that's what you type in.
Oh, right,
don't
okay.
type in Target.
Oh, okay, so so that opens up more of a choice, so if you just type in Doctor Who books, then.
Oh, just Doctor Who Virgin. You get more.
You get more. Yeah. I must admit, I've never read any of the Virgin New Adventures books.
I didn't even know they existed.
Yeah, well, I knew they existed. I must admit, back in the day, I did ponder buying some when I used to wander around W.H. Smith's, when it used to be a really good bookstore.
Look at that book.
That's a few years ago now. But it never really sort of appealed to me for some reason. But I know a lot of people wrote for Virgin New Adventures, have written for Big Finish now, or written for the Doctor Who on television.
Like Gary Russell.
Mark Gatiss. Yeah, exactly. So Paul Cornell's another one as well. So yeah, there's loads of people who kept the torch burning, are now sort of writing for Doctor Who, or have written for Doctor Who proper.
It's a shame none of them have really come back, but maybe they'll come back now Russell T. Davis is back, hopefully.
Maybe.
It'd be quite nice.
Well, I probably did them a bit of a disservice there, because back in the day, Virgin New Adventures, that was Doctor Who proper. They were
that was the proper Doctor Who.
That was it. They were continuing Doctor Who in book form. They sort of kept it.
Are you thinking about trying more?
Well, I kind of stopped watching Doctor Who, and I didn't have much interest in Doctor Who in the 90s, and when it sort of came back onto, although I tried to bring it back to television in, with the Paul McGann movie. It sort of reignited my interest again, but then it disappeared. Big Finish started in 1999, which I had no idea about.
Until go closer up to these days.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it was mentioned on like a tweet on.
No, there was no such thing as tweets back then. I didn't know it existed. I don't know how people found out about it. I suppose if you're in fandom, then you knew about it.
Probably someone found it out.
Yeah, but I never looked at the... I looked at them, I never bought them because I thought they were rather expensive, were the BBV videos that sort of carried on some of the Doctor Who stuff.
Spin-offs,
all but,
in a way.
Yeah, all but in all but named, they couldn't actually use the name The Doctor in it. So
they never put The Doctor in. I think they were able to bring
so you had the Stranger and stuff like that. Yeah, they could bring back some. So you had Sarah Jane and Liz Shaw and the Brigadier and Benton and all those people came back
and
Victoria as well.
For some reason, that was kind of strange.
Yeah. But they couldn't say. But they could bring some of the classic villains. I think you had Autons, you had Zygons, Suntarans, to name but a few. But
yeah,
I think the Draconians came back in one with Sophie Aldred, where she wasn't playing Ace. I don't think. But,
that makes no sense.
Yeah, but people just play different characters, don't they?
They just bring back the actors for Doctor Who, and they just sort of sneak them into there. There you go. There's an actor.
Well, I never bought them because I thought that they looked cheap and they looked cheap, but the videos were expensive as far as I was concerned.
Not that great.
No, probably not. I suppose if there was, in lieu of nothing else, that's if you wanted to spend the money, then that was it. That's all you had, really, wasn't it? But and I've said this many, many times on the podcast before, for me, when I was growing up, when Doctor Who wasn't repeated on the television, there was no such thing as like VHS cassettes or DVDs, Blu-rays or whatever. Target books were my only way of catching up on old Doctor Who stories.
Yeah.
That was it. And I loved them. I absolutely loved them. I used to get them out of the local library. So you couldn't buy them. I suppose you could buy them. You could go to like book fairs and stuff. There was such a thing back then. I have no idea. I suppose there must have been. Oops, sorry, I just kicked the microphone. That's gonna make a nice noise on the audio phoner.
Sorry
about that, everybody. We're huddled around one microphone, aren't we? So it's a bit.
Hello.
Yeah, it's a little bit cramped, to be honest.
Very small.
It is indeed. So Scott, what made you? Because I bought them. I used to hire them out at the library because I love getting into the whole stories and I'd never seen them before on the telly, especially the Pertwee stuff and Troughton and Hartnell. That was never...
You can't really remember that very well.
No, I don't. I just
you weren't alive before...
Hartnell and Troughton, I wasn't alive then. That was before I was born. Odd memory of the Pertwee stuff, but anything before the Green Death, I don't remember. But hey, it was my window into the world of Doctor Who. And it always seemed amazing. I think that's the thing about any kind of book, really, is the fact that, and I think it's why people get disappointed when books are made into films, because obviously the author has got their own vision of what things look like, and they put that down on paper. But as the reader is reading the book, they're making their own pictures in their mind as well. So it might the author might describe something, but in the reader's mind they've embellished it. So obviously when books are turned into movies or TV films, it can never live up to that reader's expectation. That's why people are so down on, on books that have been made into films. I love the Lord of the Rings films, but they're not a patch on the books. There's a lot of stuff missing out of the books. And I think that's a particular kind of fan reads them, because they're very, very sort of like protective of Lord of the Rings and all that sort of thing. So, and everything must be written down.
But with these,
as written, must be on the screen, I should say. So, but with Target books, it's a little bit different
because it's films turned in
into
TV
books.
Turned into books,
exactly.
Really.
So
they can sort of do what they
so they can improve on what was on the screen. However, what I found when I was a kid the first Target book I remember reading was Terror of the Autons. It was the first Target book, I think that was the first one I read. And on the front of the cover, you've got this weird octopus one-eyed crab creature on the front. And that's how it's described in the book. And there's a few little drawings in the book as well describing it. There's this thing, in, you know, this big blob thing, everything. And then when I first saw it, all these years later, I think when Paul used to record all of Doctor Who used to be shown UK Gold, as it was known as back in the day. It was just be on Saturday and Sunday mornings, I think. So, and they showed everything. No matter what it was missing stories, it was only one episode, they would show it. So it was really good from that point of view. But so when I first saw Terror of the Autons, even though it was from script to book, and the book was better than the script, obviously I'd never seen what was on the television. Then I saw the televised one, I thought, oh my God, this doesn't live up to my expectations, because the book was just so much better.
It's great.
And that's the thing. There's no budget when it comes to a book. You can do whatever you like. But unfortunately with Doctor Who, there's almost definitely a budget, and it's a very tight one, isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
Well, especially back then.
Now
you've got Disney and all that funding it, and Bad Wolf and BBC, three different like people trying to fund it at the same time.
I know. So, yeah, so it's a funny... The Target books are a weird thing, but I love them. I absolutely love them. So, whose phone is that? Is that yours?
That might be mine.
Is that your phone in your pocket?
Yeah.
Did you, I tell you, if you heard a ding? Let's put it onto silent before it goes ding again, shall we?
I didn't even know I had it.
In the words of the Pharos Project, shut up, phone.
Turn off.
Leave me alone. That's it. Cool. So let's go through the books that you've got here. Actually, so that's what's the first one you've got, Scott?
So the first, I'll go in sort of order. Because I haven't edited it. I seem to forget to edit videos, but I just read on my channel about it and I read the blurbs out and stuff.
Oh, well, we'd have to read the blurbs. But, let me take these for you.
I've had sort of...
I think, I'd hope our listeners know what the stories actually are, but we'll see. Anyway, what's the first one you got?
So this is The Androids of Tara. I don't think... Was it actually made by David Fisher?
I think it was, because you've got the... Actually, the second novelisation here. You've got the David Fisher novelisation, haven't you?
Which was made in 2022.
Yes. I didn't know this. I didn't know until we... Because I looked at it, because it's got the new Doctor Who... It's got the Jodie Whittaker logo on the front, hasn't it? And, I've got all the Target books on PDF form. And I thought, I've got The Androids of Tara. And I looked inside that book, and it says only been... first published in 2022. So I thought, this is a bit odd. But it was actually first novelised by Terence Dix. And the one you've got isn't based on the telly version, it's based on the audio book version, also written by David Fisher. But it might be interesting to compare the two when you first start. So do you know much about this one? Because this is part of The Key to Time.
I sort of know a bit about it. It's like a Romana, but it's a Romana that has like a double.
Yeah.
But it's not actually
Romana. It's not Romana.
It's someone else. But
Princess Astra, I think it is.
I think. I don't know.
Played by Lala Ward.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because she was in this book.
Yeah. So you've got Mary Towns Romana is in this book. Sorry, folks. We'll just explain to Scott. This is blowing Scott's mind now. It's Mary Towns Romana is in this one. She was in the Key to Time series. And then when Destiny the Daleks...
I know that.
She became... Then she chose to look like Princess Astra.
I know that. I've watched Destiny of the Daleks.
Yeah, so that's where it comes from. That story. That's the form that she... Romana decides to take.
I always thought Romana had a double in that story.
It's an android double.
Yeah, that's
that's
what,
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got that right. It. Yeah, yeah.
This isn't. This is the one I recently bought. One of the books that in there I've had for since last maybe the beginning of last year.
Oh, we'll come on to that one last because that's actually quite a good one, isn't it? So
yeah, I like that story. I've watched maybe. Two of these stories. I mean, one of them is actually a missing story, so it's
We'll do that one next, actually.
It's a script adaptation.
So we'll do that one next, actually. So now I like Androids of Tara. It's a good story. It's basically based on the Prisoner of Zenda, which is an old story, and it's got a really good character called Count Grendel, who's on the front cover, played by Peter Jeffries. So, I hope you'll enjoy that one, because I actually quite enjoy it. And and I hope there's a really good description of the Taran Wood Beast in there, because on the television it looked awful.
I really like the covers for the Target books, actually.
Yeah, well, the best ones are the old Chris Achilleos ones, which you haven't got any of here. So.
What's the Chris
Achilleos? He was the artist, used to do the Doctor Who Target.
The older ones,
yeah.
The original ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is the first book. If you can search it, if you just type up the Androids of Tara book on maybe Safari or Google, you might come across the modern version.
Yeah, you
Danny
might
Whittaker
do.
Logo.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
The old version, which was published in 1980.
Yes, it was.
Which is interesting.
It was. So, the next one. Now, this isn't actually a Target novelization of a TV script, is it, or TV show?
Yeah, this is interesting.
This is a missing story, isn't it? The missing Colin Baker season.
Yeah, no.
So what's it called?
So this is called Mission to Magnus. And this is quite a controversial story.
First of all, who wrote this one?
Philip Martin,
okay.
I've watched one part of Vengeance and Varus, so I haven't finished that yet. He wrote that story, which is in season 22. And then Mindwalk, which is in season 23, which is when Perry dies.
Yes, I know. So this one again features Syl, doesn't it? And Ice Warriors.
Yeah.
That's all I know about this story. Because I've got to be honest, I'm not a massive fan of the Syl character. I don't know why people are so... I can't figure out why people love the character so much.
He's okay.
I don't.
It's a bit... I wonder what he would be like with the Seventh Doctor and Ace. If Philip Martin ever wrote a story again, that would be quite interesting, actually.
Yeah.
But his character didn't really get fleshed out, and in Mindwalk it was focused on Kiv and not Syl, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Kiv and Perry, and the Doctor was sort of just...
And Brian Blessed, obviously.
The Doctor
King of Carnos.
The Doctor was sort of mentally crazy in that story. He wasn't...
To be honest, Colin Baker was asked to be mentally crazy in every single one of his stories for some reason. He was never allowed to just to be his Doctor.
But in that story, he wasn't actually... sort of the Doctor. He was, his personality changed because his brain was trying to be transferred to Kiv's brain.
Yeah, I know.
It's very confusing. It's
not one of my favourite stories, Vengeance on Varus, if I'm perfectly honest.
It's got good sets though. I quite like the atmosphere of it.
Okay. So,
but yeah.
So anyway, your mission to Magnus then. So what's the... Well, read the blurb about this one, because I don't know anything about this one, Scott. So
know quite a bit.
Oh, go on. Just read it out, so in case the listeners don't know what it's about either.
Did I hear, Doctor? Is it the Doctor I am drawn to me? The laugh became more strident, forcing the Doctor to thrust his fingers into his ears in panic and close his eyes, as if he were frightened as a child. And basically, if you haven't read it, listen to the rest of the blurb, because it's a very silly concept which you're about to hear.
Oh, I'll go on then.
The TARDIS has been pulled off course and sent hurtling through space and time. When it finally stops, Perry's amazed to witness the Doctor's transformation into a cringing coward. The takeover of the TARDIS by the school bully from the class of the fourth millennium on the Gallifrey is only the first of the Doctor's problems. On the surface of the planet, more of his old enemies are conspiring to trick the planet's all-female rulers. The Doctor and Perry have to foil a plot to freeze the entire world and wipe out most of the population. So the Doctor has his school bully in this story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's... That's the most controversial bit. And
so this sounds like a bit like... an all-female...
Yeah,
ruled planet or something.
It's not...
This sounds a bit like Billy Bunter meets the two Ronnies, the worm that turned, if you ask me. This sounds a bit.
This story is quite controversial for those
reasons, is it?
Reasons.
Oh, what makes it controversial?
I don't really know, but I've watched videos.
You just put it out there.
Of people talking about it, and then there's just, you know, apparently it's there's some bits in it that are a bit odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
okay. That's
Mission to Magnus for you.
Okay, that's an interesting one then.
The cover's quite interesting. It's very,
very green.
Green, yeah. I quite like the Ice Warriors.
Mm. I like the Ice Warriors, but I don't like Syl, I'm afraid.
Yeah. I'm alright with Syl's design. And I wonder if they had another alien that was a lizard. Like a lizard creature.
Mm.
It has the Sylvester McCoy logo on it as well. Which does not match the cover whatsoever.
Well, no, because this was written in 1990, wasn't it, this
1990?
One? 1990? Yeah, and that was the only logo they had at the time. That was the official logo, even though it had been off the telly for a year.
Yeah, 1990.
So, okay, so the next one, What have we got here, Scott?
Here we've got Kinder.
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 Kinder. You Bolshiki.
This is one written by Scott.
Terence Dix.
My favourite author of Target books. Yes. Do you know much about it? You watched Kinder before? You watched it?
I know that the big bit about it is the snake dance and all.
Yeah.
The snake that possesses Tegan and stays in her till.
I really like Kinder. I think it's a really good story. And I know people.
It's the robot for me.
It's a bit silly. And they said the snake lets a big papier-mâché snake. But when I was a kid, about your age, watching. When I watched Kinder, it was first
on the
telly.
About 12.
No, it was earlier than that. I don't know.
11, 1982?
No, yeah, that when it was shown in the winter, I would have been 11 because it was always shown in the January of that year. So I would have been 11. It scared me. I thought seeing the gigantic snake and everything. I thought to me then it looked really good. And now they've done a CG version for the Blu-ray, which is cool. But no, I really like Kinder. I hope you enjoy reading that one because it's a very strange story.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a very strange story because you go inside Tegan's mind.
It's kind of weird.
And I think it's a really, really good story, that one.
This was published in 1983. Would you like me to read out the blurb?
No, I think we all know the blurb on this one. We all know what Kinder is. Hopefully you'll enjoy reading. You'll enjoy reading that one because that's a really, really good story.
Now we're about to move on to two really good stories, and I've both watched these. These are great.
Okay, let's do this one first then.
So this one is Revelation of the Daleks. I really enjoy the story, actually.
Now, didn't you buy this one on Forbidden Planet?
Yeah, this is Signs by
Eric Saywood. Yes.
I swear I have one signed by Gary Russell somewhere.
You have got one signed
by
Gary Russell.
But where is it?
I don't know.
I'm going to go searching.
You've got it somewhere, so you're missing so you didn't actually buy this one as part of this job lot then, did you?
So everyone probably knows about this, and this was published in 2019.
Yes, it's a very late one, this one. For some reason, it was that and Resurrection of the Daleks.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, well, both. And I think because they're both written by Eric Saywood. So they, for some reason or other, it must have been to do with him falling out with JNT. I don't know the full reason behind it. I'm just guessing here. But yeah, he didn't novelise them until very, very late, as you can see, 2019.
He's got some good stories, though, I have to admit.
His stories always end up
killing everyone.
Everyone dies. lots of violence.
Yes.
Usually someone's extremities get crushed.
Lovely.
At some point. He's...
violence writer.
The only other book I can remember we covered on Who's He was The Twin Dilemma. And it was just... A Twin Dilemma was an awful story anyway.
Who wrote it?
He did. He wrote the novelisation anyway.
Was it?
And it was just weird. There was this bit with a cat in it, which didn't make
any sense.
It had no bearing on the story at all. It was just, just there, just to pad it out.
Well,
and it was
who
just
wrote
really
the TV
strange.
Story?
I can't remember, mate.
I mean, it probably doesn't help. It comes after the beloved Caves of Androzani.
I know exactly. I know.
Explains why
exactly.
If it came after a really bad story. What could you say is a really bad Doctor Who story?
But I think you're like Revelation of the Daleks because I think it is actually it's a very good story, that one, to be honest. There's a couple of bits.
Yeah, I've watched it before.
There's a couple of bits on the TV don't make a lot of. There's a couple of bits like the big sort of
statue
of Colin of the Doctor doesn't make a lot of. There's something in that happens didn't.
And it falls
like when
over
it falls
on
over.
Him.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense. So hopefully in the book that might cover those gaps a little bit.
It says on the back, be aware of the hands that heal.
Yeah.
I don't remember actually.
Because it's in a hospital, isn't it?
I remember watching it, but I don't actually remember anything about it. I know there's like a DJ in it or something.
Yeah. Lexi Sale played the DJ. Now, we saw that recently about a year or so ago at the BFI, and I really enjoyed watching it, actually, because there's some really good dialogue in it, and I hope that comes out in the book as well.
It's also more of a recent Target cover, which I actually really like the covers, and it's also got Davros in it as well. But it's a really nice colour cover. And I like the Daleks from Revelation of the Daleks as well.
Yeah.
They're really nice. I like the design because they're sort of used in Remembrance of the Daleks.
That's right,
in a
word,
way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay,
we
cool.
We went to the final one.
The final book. And it is...
The Caves of Androzani.
Yes, it is.
Which we
it
were just
is.
Talking about.
So, now, there is a reason why we sort of... I sort of held this one back from in the past, Scott, because that is... this. We'll announce this now to the listeners. That's the next story that Paul and I will be covering on Who's He. We haven't done a Fifth Doctor story for ages, and I thought, let's do a really good one.
Yeah.
So, doing The Caves of Androzani, which was written for the TV by Robert Holmes, and the novelisation is by Terence Dix. On this one. So, and as we all know, it's the Fifth Doctor's last story, and it's a cracker.
It's quite good. I've watched it before.
Yeah.
The little like monster thing probably is like the actual monster in the cave is probably the worst.
Oh, yeah.
The puppet thing sort of.
Well, it's a man in a suit, costume. Isn't it really? Yeah.
Yeah,
hopefully that'll come out better.
Yeah, it'll probably tell you something better.
Hopefully, but yeah. No, I love The Caves of Androzani. I know everyone sort of holds it. It always gets voted as one of the best, best stories.
Quite
but
dark.
It's very dark again because Eric Sayward was the script editor at the time, and of course everybody dies.
It makes you want to feel kind of depressed.
Yeah,
it's so
yeah,
it's sad.
It's full of nasty people. This story, but it's just a good adventure yarn.
It's
I think
creepy
actually.
As well.
Yeah,
especially because you have one of the people they keep turning around and actually talking to the camera like they're
oh
like,
yeah
we're
yeah
there.
What's his name, John Normanton.
Really
that was
weird.
That was an accident.
Yeah,
but I thought it was really good breaking the fourth wall like that.
It's made
I love it
really weird.
I love it. It's great.
It's a funny story actually.
No, I really enjoy that one. Yeah, I hope you're going to enjoy these, Scott, because I think you put. I don't know if you're at Mission to Magnus, but I think you've picked some really good stories there to read.
Yeah,
I really do.
I didn't actually know about how good they actually were meant to be, but I like the artwork for this though.
Sherez Jack.
He's weird.
Yeah,
it's
probably a story they wouldn't do on Doctor Who anymore now. Because it's a disfigured person being the villain.
I don't know what that is meant to be.
I don't know what it is on the front cover.
I don't know
cover.
What that
no
thing
idea.
Is on the front.
No.
It looks like a baby covered in some...
It looks like the baby out of Teletubbies.
Oh, it does. I don't know what it is.
I think you're going to... I think you're really going to enjoy this one, mate.
I've watched this and Revelation of the Daleks. So I feel like maybe I'll probably have to watch Androids of Tara and Kinder and compare it to the books.
Yes, that's what Paul and I will be doing with The Caves of Androzani. As usual, we'll be doing the Target novelisation and also the televised version.
There's
and comparing the two.
Something about books that seem to make, if it's a low-budget story, better. In somewhat way or form.
Well, Caves of Androzani wasn't really a low
in
budget story.
In
other
stories.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see what they do with
budget.
It. Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do with it. It's things like if you read The Three Doctors, when you talk about when Omega shows the Doctors the singularity in his throne room, and in the TV, it's just like a puff of smoke, it's like a smoke machine going off. Being the book is a pillar of fire reaching up into the heavens. Yeah, it sounds amazing until you see the televised version. It's like, oh dear.
What is that?
Yeah. But fortunately, I saw the televised version because it's repeated. And I think it's the Five Faces of Doctor Who or something. I think that was it. They repeated a couple of things in the 80s. When I first saw the Three Doctors.
We need to give... I wonder if the... the Time Lash book will give justice to the actual Time Lash itself. I thought the poor tinsel. it was used and it's very upset. It's,
well, you have to watch the Blu-ray box set of that season.
It's
because
been updated.
It's been updated, yeah. So I must have haven't got around to watching that story
yet. I feel bad
for
the poor tinsel. Tinsel's been upset.
I don't actually like the Time Lash that much. But
it's not great.
No,
but very weird.
Yeah, very weird, very weird. But anyway, mate, I think you picked some really good books there. So maybe, maybe at some point you'll have to come back on and do a comparison, sort of tell us what you thought about them.
Yeah.
Yes, do little book reviews.
Yes.
Yes, indeed, indeed. So, I think that's just about it. Yeah, we just want to spend that sort of half hour or so just sort of chatting about the books and everything. And I think, you know, I think it's important for people to read, actually, especially kids as well.
And if it's good for them.
Yeah, and if it's
something you like as well.
That's the thing. It doesn't matter what the book is, really.
Just read it.
If it's. I know people get quite sniffy about books. It's like any time there's a like a book review program, it's always about some author writing about modern world issues.
Or a romantic story.
Well, no, it's not only that. It's always got to have a message, and which is fine. That's the thing about books, room for everything, but. There's more to life than those particular types of books, and you've got this. There's so many things to read. So, if you enjoy Doctor Who or Star Wars or Star Trek or whatever it might be,
or Hitchhikers,
whatever it is, for God's sake, just read them.
Do it.
Just do it. Just read them. It's really important just to read, because it.
As long as you find the good.
It just opens up your mind. It really does. Reading it opens up your mind and your imagination. And it,
as long
I think
as you find
brilliant.
The ones that have good bargains. Don't buy one book for £20. Not worth it.
There you go. So we'll end that podcast on Scott's sound consumer advice. There, indeed.
Very good.
Indeed. So, thanks everybody for listening to us two waffling on for the last half hour. So, so Paul and I'll be back soon with Case of Androzani. There might be another podcast in between then. I'm not too sure at the moment, so we'll see. So, until then, it's goodbye from me, Phil,
and goodbye from me, Scott.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening. You can download this podcast from iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, and through your podcatcher of choice. If you would care to leave us some feedback on iTunes, that would be very much appreciated. You can also find us on Twitter at @whose_he_podcast, on the Who's He Podcast Facebook group, and through our website, whose-he-podcast.co.uk.